Very good to be with you. Happy New Year. But we know as from Tuesday, when we go back into the shops, Easter eggs will be there, so I'm going to put in Happy Easter as well, just to get ahead of the game. You know, why should they get all the luck? So, actually, I've already seen Easter eggs in one of the shops at the back of the store, ready to go out. So we don't want to miss that time, do we? In fact, this is a bit about time. Now, many, many, many years ago, in fact, you know, when I was young, and we lived life in black and white then, I was a school teacher, so you're going to have a bit of a science lesson today. Now, that's something really, really important, because I was rubbish at science at school. I was an English teacher. In fact, I was banned. Hold on, I've got to work out what year it was. One, two, three, three. Three in old money, nine in new money. Okay, year nine. And we went on to do our GCSE O levels then. I was banned from doing chemistry. I was banned from doing chemistry O level, which I thought I'd like to have done, by Mr. Livesey, who was my chemistry teacher and was also the cross-country master in the school and one of my house masters. And I was banned on the basis that he kept me back afterwards and said, Barrett, you are not doing O-level chemistry. You are a danger to life and limb. If I'm saying don't mix it with water, you've already done it because I can see all the smoke fizzing up. If I say don't mix those chemicals together, there's no point because you've already done it and you're hiding it under the bin because it's fizzing. He said, and if I ever say to anybody, don't suck any of that, you've already done it. He said, you're going to kill people, not yourself, though. So he banned me. I wasn't allowed to do physics. First lesson, my mate Al, who was there, they were hiding it, heating ethanol in a big bulb flask over the Bunsen burner, and the neck of it broke, and it went on the thing, apparently a big sheet of, I wasn't there because I was banned, remember, because I was dangerous. Whoa, sheet of flame, they got the thing out, put everybody out. Everybody outside, fire alarm going off, fire engine came up. Next day I'm walking down the corridor, and I see Mr. Livesey coming, and I said, good job I was in that thing, and Al was very good. I didn't set fire to anything, and I got past him, and just as I got past him, without breaking a step, I got smacked across the back of the head. Because that's what you did in those days, and it didn't do anything to me, as you'll notice. But yeah, I was rubbish at science, so as we go through this, if there are any scientists in amongst us, two things. One, don't shout the answer out, because, you know, what am I going to do then? And B, criticise me afterwards, but gently, okay, gently. So, go on. So the background you see there is a cross-section of the universe, picture of the universe. We're talking about the image of the unseen God, firstborn of all creation. Jesus was the architect and the artist in the creation with God. So we're looking at a God that's, well, pretty big, shall we say. Pretty big. Because we're not supposed to lean on our own understanding. Why should we lean on God's understanding? Well, this picture shows you the universe. Little dots, the galaxies. The white sort of lines are matter in between. And the dark stuff is, well, could be dark energy, but we don't know. Because we don't know where it is, what it is, and where it's all gone. I know, and I've told Chris, because of his legal capacity, that if we don't know where the dark matter or dark energy is, I had nothing to do with it, and you won't find my fingerprints on it, I'll tell you that. But beyond this, there's a creation picture that's taken outside our own universe. We'll come to that in a minute. And in that universe we're going to look at, there are... Go back to that last one with the numbers on. Yeah. 200 billion trillion stars. Now, when I was a kid at school, especially in lessons, I went on to be a teacher. You wouldn't believe this, right? This is confession, isn't it? I just need someone to give me blessing afterwards. I used to sit in certain lessons where I got bored in and try and create large numbers like this. So you'd put a one, and I'd have an old exercise book, and then I just put three noughts and a comma, three noughts and a comma, three noughts and a comma. By the end of the first term, I filled an exercise book with noughts. I don't know what it was called, whether it's a Googleplex, one of those, but I should have kept it, because I reckon it could have gotten the Guinness Book of Records, if only for the fact of the stupidest person in a lesson to write noughts all the way through a book. But 200 billion trillion stars. Now, you can't even think of the number of that. We have difficulty if you say about 1,000. If you go to 100,000, you go to 1,000,000. How do you get to that sort of number? But there's 200 billion trillion stars. There are 200 billion galaxies out there, and they're in 25 billion clusters. Right? Now, so far, how big's God? You know? This is the universe in which we exist. And when we come to the picture, you're going to see 20 billion light years of space. 20 billion light years. We're talking just now about resolutions, and I did say that I base my resolutions, my New Year's resolution, on Scripture. You know, because a day to the Lord could be like 1,000 years. Well, I reckon if I get my resolutions done within that space of 1,000 years, that's pretty scriptural for me, I tell you. So, that's what we're talking about, 20 billion light years. Next one. Now, you can see there's a little blue thing. That says the Virgo supercluster. That's where our Milky Way galaxy is, in there somewhere. We're in there somewhere. And that's all those 100 billion light years. And at the top, there's a little line that says, it's a little white line. That's 1 billion light years in the middle of there. So when we're talking about his image in the unseen God, the firstborn of all creation, without him was nothing made. And this is the Jesus who comes to us, as we've sung, in the shape of a baby. A tiny, tiny baby. As we're told in Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 8, about Jesus being the architect, the artist in the creation that God has. This is the God, the Jesus we're talking about, the center. The center, the creator of all this, come to us in a tiny, tiny baby. But the universe is immensely full of beauty and mystery. I mean, this new telescope that's gone up, what I've put up here, anything I use here, will soon be redundant with this new telescope that's been launched into space. So the far edges of the universe, and a universe far, far away. Go on to the next one. There's the M51 Whirlpool Galaxy, and it's in the Canis-Venaissac area. It's 23 to 37 million light years away. That's pretty good, actually, 23 to 37. That's not bad. That's like when your dad says, when he's driving a car, your husband says, I know a shortcut. All right? That's the difference. 23 to 37 million light years away. Whenever you know what it is, when he gets the guy, says, it's all right, I know a shortcut. That's the time to get out and take a taxi. Okay? My dad was really good at that. Remember my dad said, I know a shortcut, we'd all quake with fear. We once parked the car in Bath. I was eight. We went for a walk round Bath and we couldn't find the car and we came back. Could not find our car. So we're walking around for about 25 minutes and I'm a little kid and my sister and we're crying by then and whining and moaning, you know, like I still do now. And I was going around and my mum said, ask somebody, ask somebody. So eventually there was a policeman. My mum said, ask him, ask him. And we were... My dad went at the policeman and he said to my dad, what's your car look like? He said, it's a Black Rover. That was helpful. Where did you park it? He said, outside some Georgian houses. That was it. And do you know why we parked it there? Because my dad said, I know Bath like the back of my hand. Unfortunately, he was wearing gloves. So, the diameter of the galaxy we're going to look at, next one, please. It's 100,000 light years away. It's got 160 billion suns, 300 to 500 billion stars in it. And it's a Whirlpool galaxy. Next one. And it's actually known as the darling of astronomy. It's one of the near perfect Whirlpool galaxies. Now, we've got a Hubble Space picture in a minute of the center of the universe, the center of this galaxy. And there's a huge dust cloud there, which has got a black hole at the center of this M51. So the image, next one please. The image you're going to see is 1,100 light years across. And this is what's at the center. Doesn't it? Get you thinking. That's at the center of this beautiful galaxy, far, far away, on the outer reaches of our visible universe, what we can see at the moment. This is something God's created. So this is the God, as Charles says, this is the God we adore. This is the God who created that immensity of space and time, billions of light years, billions and billions of planets and suns and stars that we can't even begin to comprehend. And then comes to us in the cry of a tiny baby to be amongst us because he loves us. By the way, there will be a test paper on the way out. Laminin. Actually, in my last church, when I did something about this, I'm very careful because. I'll change the story now because this is going to be broadcast, isn't it? The organist playing that day, his name is Chris. Our choir master was Chris Lammerman. It was Chris Lammerman. So when I went to introduce this, I said, "Has anybody heard of Lammerman?" And everybody went, "Yeah, he's playing the organ." So I had to start again and come back. So he thought it was about. Oh, it was very embarrassing. Lammerman. What? Okay, it's that one there. Next one. So this is the bit where it proves that I read something, and you're sitting there going, "Grief, he knows a lot, doesn't he?" But you know me, and you know that I know a book where there's a lot in it. So, you know. So these lamin molecules, they're called heterotrimers. I've got no idea what that is, but they're called them. And they've got 15 of them, and they're part of what's called the glycoproteins. Glycoproteins. Now, glycoproteins form an integral part of our body. They're like scaffolding, you know, like when you have a thing up. It's a structure around of all your organs, all the bits of your body that actually keeps it as it is. But lamin is a bit more than that. Lamin is actually the sort of glue bit that keeps all your bits together, your muscles and your organs and stuff. If we didn't have lamin, well, we'd all just be a pool of on the floor, something out of Doctor Who, you know, that speaks out of it. But we wouldn't be able to speak because we wouldn't have any teeth or tongues. It's the glue that holds our body together. Never heard it before when I was looking this up. And this came quite by accident when I was just, you know, going around like ministers do, spending a lot of time looking at videos of cats. I thought it was just ministers did that. Now I know worship leaders do, so I'm not thankfully as guilty as normal. And this stuff holds everything in. If you didn't have it, we wouldn't exist. The body wouldn't exist. It wouldn't hold together. You know, it would absolutely fall apart. Now, you're going to know this, so I'm going to show it to you, because if you want to guess what shape lamin is, it's that shape. It's a cross shape. So, as I say, it gets you thinking. From the farthest reaches of the universe, right, we see a cross shape. And then, integrally in our bodies that permits us to exist is a cross shape. Now, your memory verse, lean not on your own understanding. I'm definitely not leaning on my understanding because I have no idea why those two things exist like that. I have no idea why they exist like that at all. But they do. They're there. And that sets us, as I said, sets us thinking about the presence of God. From the farthest massive reaches of the creation to the smallest part of our creation, there is a sign for us of God's presence, of God being with us, of God being around us and within us. You see, and we mustn't lean on our own understanding, which is why I chose that wonderful Colossians reading. He is the image of the unseen God. He is the firstborn of creation. It tells us about Jesus. It makes us look outward to Jesus. As I said, the architect, the artist in creation, in God's creation. It reminds us that it's Jesus who does this in the Godhead, through the power of the Spirit. It takes us to look out. Because if we're not careful, if we lean on our own understanding, we begin to think we know it all. We begin to think we know it all. For many, many years, well, even now, the problem in the church writ large has always been that either certain sections of the church thought they knew it all and everybody else didn't. So you had two options. Either admit that we know it all and you don't, or be, I don't know, burnt, tortured, refuse communion, whatever. It becomes that idea. We have governments and rulers. We have people who think they know it all. And they don't. And once we get to the stage where we think we know it all, we stop trying to find out anymore. Because we think we know everything. You can't tell some people. And that can be true. But we must seek knowledge We must seek understanding. God gave us a brain. It's through that brain that we manage to discover, to explore, to understand. That's what God wants us to do. You're talking about reading the Bible in a year or going through the Bible. You can read the Bible and then you can read it again. And the next time you read it, even with a verse sometimes, it means something different than the time you read it before. Because we seek to understand. We seek to understand more. And the more we seek to understand God's word to us, then surely the more we seek to be like God's living word to us. To be as Jesus. To understand that although we may be, and sometimes we may look at the universe and these great big things and think we're a tiny thing in it. No, we're not. We're one of the most precious things in it. Because God, who loves us, sent his Son. Not just to be amongst us, but to die for us and to rise again for us. And you think how precious that makes us. As we learn more about God's creation, we learn more about the greatness of God. Because we find more astounding things. We see more beautiful things. We get to know more wonderful things. And don't get me on to going into the ocean, because I thought you might have an oceanographer here, so I left that bit out, really. But we don't even know what lies in the depths of the ocean. On our own planet. But as we learn about it, what it should teach us is about the greatness of God. The beauty of God. Because we see this God has given us this creation. That tests our minds and our thoughts. That shows us our God is a great big God. We all know that children's song that we all still do. Our God is a great big God, greater than we are. And it has to be greater than us. I was told at college when ministerial training, they trained me for this. You won't believe it, will you? But they trained me for this. Your God should always be bigger than your own theology. Because once we make God smaller than our own theology, we've created God in the image we want God. Not the image of the unseen God. Jesus isn't the image of the unseen God. Jesus is the image we want to make Jesus to make sure that we're right. And we're not always right. We're not always right. And when we're wrong, Jesus doesn't punish us. Jesus forgives us and shows us grace. Next week is covenant service. One of the most powerful sets of words, I think, in Christendom. Those words are used by so many other groups and churches now because they've discovered it over the years. Those covenant words are so powerful. They're almost too much to say, aren't they? We commit ourselves wholeheartedly to our Christian faith, to our love of God in Christ. And yet, we know we will fall. We know because we don't believe we know it all. We don't believe we know everything. We don't lean on our own understanding. But when we do fall short of that covenant that we promise, as I said earlier on, God makes it up with his grace and his love. That's the understanding we need as well. Not our own understanding, but God's understanding. Not our own knowledge, but the knowledge of God in Jesus Christ. Not our own power, but the power of the Holy Spirit. That cross, that's the sign of God's love for us. The empty cross is the sign that God has promised us more than we can ever understand. But it doesn't mean we don't try to understand. So we do not lean on our own understanding because we know our understanding is limited. But when we look at the God who creates the greatest and the smallest of things, we know it's going to take us all our lives and beyond to seek to understand that God. So we don't lean on our own understanding. We lean on God. What God reveals to us through his word. What God reveals to us through his people. As you say, sharing testimony. I said at my table, one of the great privileges of ministry, and there are many humbling privileges. One of the great privileges of ministry, when I stand in front of my congregations, of my churches, because I pastorally visit them and have done so for the past 9-10 years. I know the ups and downs of their lives that they've been through. The joys, the immense, tremendous celebrations, but also the sorrows. And sharing those moments with them challenges my faith, deepens my faith, broadens my understanding of faith. and continually leaves me in awe of a God who works through such ordinary people as we are to bring his love into the world through Jesus Christ. So as you go forward with that memory verse, yes, lean on God, trust in God, and trust that God will reveal to us as we live and move and have our being in him, the way that we show that love to all. And we are in a world, in a community, in a town, where people need to know that they are loved and loved beyond measure, because so many other aspects of our society tell people they're worthless, they're not loved, they're outcast. Not the God that we worship and adore. Get you thinking.